Well, let's go.
All right.
Yes. All right. Good morning, everybody. I call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, June 26, 2018, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you again, and good morning. First item on our agenda is public comment number one. It's an opportunity for members of the public to address topics that are either on or not on today's agenda. I know we've got Brant Lemure, who would like to make a general observation. Brant, come on up.
Brant Lemure, 5615 Lincoln Way, Ames, Iowa. I won't take too long here for that first year. I want to say a few words this morning. I'm hearing, at first anyway, I am not here today as Brant Lemure, Crestview Mobile Park. I am here today as Brant Lemure, Story County taxpayer. I am frustrated, concerned, and saddened how Story County has handled the Crestview situation in the past 2 years. Looking back now on all the wasted resources, county resources, state resources, industry-related resources, and private resources, is just unsettling. The past year, since June, especially since June 1, 2017, we were on an agreement plan. But through this process and to date, seems we are to be disagreeing, arguing on, it seems like arguing at times, on items that shouldn't even have been issues, and interpreting laws and codes to the extreme in certain ways, and false information directed towards Crestview and or myself many times. It's just ridiculous. This has been dragging on way too long. You, the Board of Supervisors, the Board of Health, and the Treasury Department, of course, myself, say that we want the same thing, the big picture, to clean up this property, mainly remove the homes, in a smooth and quick order. I will not bore you today with numerous facts of certain county departments wasting time and resources to stop, slow, or derail this agreement plan, and then hide behind the DNR. But no, this should not be so. The DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, was in agreement in all at the beginning, and still are in the most part. They came to numerous Board of Health meetings explaining such, but certain county staff kept poking and searching for such involvement until these roadblocks happened. That is all I can say about that at this time. Or the recent issue of the Treasury Department trying real hard to interpret such laws in a negative way to the taxpayer. Legislatures spend a lot of time making rules and regulations and laws. It is our job as taxpayers and the job of the treasurer to respect and follow these rules, laws, to which these rules, laws apply. These facts that I've touched on and more should not have come into play the last couple of years, meaning we cease a service in this community for no good reason, a service in this community that was and is needed. Also, in such closing, this board was to assist tenants on their move. This started out as first part of the application process to assist in moving their home, their mobile home. That is why the amount was the $3,000. This $3,000 was the average amount to move a mobile home at that time. Only six homes left this property, and the expense of our taxpayer money used paid to date is much more than the $18,000, which my calculation, which would be that suggestion. And the remaining homes that are left on this property, which is to be much more than $3,000 apiece to remove due to the latest development. Well, that's enough of that. A colleague of mine that read this in the paper approximately last year or so, maybe a little sooner, but has been kept on the situation, keep up on the situation. He just recently stated, you know, all these county departments that are going out of their way, looking for some issue with Crestview. Reminds me of the latest topic in big government right now, coercion. This saddens me when I heard this. It saddens me to any part of such. It saddens me that I am a taxpayer in the community that this is thought of. After 15 years of running a productive, respectable service in this county, it is just terrible to get dealt this way. And in raising 5 children to be productive members of society, I fear for them. I hope other taxpayers of Story County keep a watchful eye. I have learned a lot the last couple of years about our local governing. I'm still learning. These are all facts that I have presented, that have been presented, not by myself. These are all facts that I just stated that have been presented at meetings or certain staff members prior to today. Not by myself again, but I thank you for your time to reiterate. The point is, let's get back in the right track. So back in the right track. Each and every department involved, not passing the buck to somewhere where it shouldn't go. I would like to ask you, the Board of Supervisors, to oversee certain departments to ensure that we can all be on this same goal. Please, for the sake of us taxpayers, let's do what's right ethically and continue to follow the law that is presented to us. Thank you.
Brent, thank you. I would say this. I'd say you're confused of the difference between facts and opinion statements. You didn't state one single fact, and the only place I agree with you on what you just said is we have the same goal. It's time for you to get that thing cleaned up and live up to just one of the obligations that you've made. The rest of it were all opinion statements, not backed up by one fact. All right. Public comment. Deb Shildroth. Oh, Linda would like to come up. Linda, come on up.
Thank you.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. And this is not to get into a back-and-forth debate. I just want to say I have been following how the county has been dealing with the Crestview situation, both the Board of Supervisors and staff. And I want to say that when I've had some concerns, I think they've, you know, I've addressed them, and they've been listened to, which I appreciated. And I feel like the board and the staff have done an extremely good job, and I wanted to say that for the record. Again, not to do a back and forth, but I just wanted to say for the record that I think you did an outstanding job. The Board of Health did an outstanding job. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Linda. I agree with that. We were dealt a bad hand, didn't ask for it.
For the record, Linda Merkin, Franklin Township.
didn't ask to deal with any of this. It got thrust upon us because people were living in an abhorrent situation. And that's a fact. Deb Shildroth, you were going to update us, nothing beyond an update of a fire that YSS had at one of their facilities.
Good morning, Deb.
Good morning, Director of External Operations and County Services. So YSS, their 712 Burnett house, had a house fire on Sunday evening, and all 8 girls and 2 staff were ushered out safely and are staying in some temporary housing situations at this point in time. The 712 Burnett House is a substance use treatment facility for girls. And Andrew Allen, the CEO, has been in contact with different members on the asset admin team, as well as, I think, other members within the community to look at options for longer-term temporary housing until they find out exactly the extent of the damage at the house and what their next steps are going to be. What I suggested to Andrew was maybe reach out to Mary Greeley Medical Center. They've got some properties on and around their hospital campus. And I also suggested that he contact Story County Medical Center. They've got the Nevada Medical Clinic building downtown that's vacant. And I understand that he wants to try and keep everybody in games because of the services, and that's the community that the girls are most familiar with. But I think if trying to find some temporary housing, if we can, you know, find something close to Ames that will help mediate the situation, we should be able to give those options to Andrew as well. I saw in the email this morning from Jean Cressy, she had suggested maybe he reach out to the university to see if there's any sororities or fraternities that might have some space available, as well as Riverside Bible Camp, Story City, maybe even the Y Camp. So those are just all options that YSF could look into. So At this point in time, I think they're trying to keep as much of the programming on track as possible for the girls. They've been trying to keep the situation as normal as possible as they look for other housing options at this point in time.
Thank you, Deb, too, because I was trying to follow the stream. Sometimes my phone doesn't get every single email in the stream. But anyway, when I saw you talking about Nate and whatever, I thought, great, she went ahead and recommended, or at least the old campus and stuff. So anyway, thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Good. Thanks,
Deb. All right,
thank you.
Thank you. Looks like we don't have anybody from DHS here today. So we'll hold that agency report for a later date. We got minutes from June 19th.
I would move as presented.
Motion in a second. Anything to note?
None.
Olson.
Aye.
Key.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions as listed, board.
As presented.
Second.
Key.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Claims.
Move as presented.
Second.
Olson.
Aye.
Key.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda.
As listed.
Second.
Motion and a second. Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. No public hearing items today. Additional items. Consideration of Resolution 18-120. This is the first FY19 appropriation resolution. You mean you want to have money actually in the account to spend on July 1st?
July 1st. Who
Amazing.
Knew? Who knew?
You hold us to such a strict standard.
Okay, so the only comment I have on this is that the majority of the departments, this is a 50% appropriation of their FY19 budget, except for General County Betterment and Countywide Services. I went ahead and did 100% on both of those right off the bat, which is typical. We usually do that every year. And then the only other comment I have is we'll be amending this budget in Pretty July good. Anyway. So, okay.
Questions?
None.
It's not a public hearing item, but if anybody would like to address Resolution 18-120, come on up. Okay, board, action.
I would so move that we approve Resolution 18-120 as presented.
Motion in a second. Olson.
Aye.
Key.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Resolution 18-120, appropriating dollars for FY19 passes.
Happy New Year.
Happy fiscal New Year. Next is discussion and direction for the abatement of taxes for Crestview Mobile Home Park. Ethan and Artie. So let's see. I'll try to set the groundwork. So last week, at some point, Brant was down in the treasurer's office, unhappy that the treasurer wouldn't just abate taxes because there was some question about where it fit. I was called because it was not an appropriate situation in a public place. I went down, and Brant and I walked out of the office and had a nice little conversation, and I told Brant at that point that I would dig into it, because where Brant's 100% right, and the only place that I find him right, is that we have the same goal of it's time to get that place cleaned up and figure out what's next for that piece of property, and it is reasonable that we would, if not assist, at least lay out what the process is. And then it's up to, I mean, we've seen on multiple occasions Brant doesn't follow the process that he says he's going to follow, but it's still our responsibility to lay the process out there. So we met yesterday, me and Ethan and Artie and Renee Tweet and Jennifer met yesterday and just talked through kind of the different categories of mobile homes that are still out there and what we could do to try to make it as streamlined a process as possible going forward. Ethan, I turn it to you and say, do you want to set it up different than that, or is that pretty close?
That's accurate. I think this process, Bill Talbot represents Brant Beamer in his official capacity as owner of Crestview Mobile Home Park, is aware of the process. Bill is a very intelligent attorney and a very knowledgeable attorney, and he knows the process needs to be followed. There's three categories of trailers at Crestview Mobile Home Park. One's owned by Crestview. Those that are owned by individuals who were evicted pursuant to Iowa Code Chapter 648. and then abandoned mobile homes that were just left by their owners on the park premises. So there's different process for each set of trailers. The Crestview-owned trailers would need a tax clearance. And that's been made clear to Mr. Lehmer and Mr. Lehmer's attorney. The trailers where people are evicted, and I think the numbers, we'll give you the numbers as we go here. So the Crestview trailers, there's six that are in Crestview's name with approximately $2,000 owing in taxes.
Okay.
And then for the evicted, there's five remaining with approximately $3,100 in taxes owing. And then on the eviction list, there's an additional eight trailers with approximately $15,000 in taxes owing.
Those are the ones that have been evicted or have not been evicted?
Those are the ones that are on the FED list that are left.
Yep.
And then
what was that amount?
That was approximately $15,000.
Yeah.
And
just to be clear, the FED list, the sales list?
That's the eviction list. So those people have been evicted. Or those homes, prior occupants were evicted. And then there's 18 that are abandoned mobile homes with $27,000. Approximate tax bill. Now, before you remove a mobile home park from any property, you must have a tax clearance under Iowa law. But that's not required in the case of an eviction. So those 13 trailers on the FED list that have active evictions, those can be moved without a tax clearance.
Okay.
Now, the abandoned mobile homes, 18 of those, there's the process for abandoned mobile homes, removing those under Iowa Code 555B. Talbot is aware of that process and has yet to initiate that process. But as part of the court process for those abandoned mobile homes, the taxes could be wiped out as part of that court process. So really what we're left with is the Crestview homes and approximately $2,000 worth of taxes left on those that the board would have to consider whether or not they'd be willing to abate.
My own question, even just to make sure I understand, is that you said the abandoned ones can be wiped out, but they don't have to be wiped out.
It'd be in that 555B legal process. It could be wiped out.
Okay.
By the court.
Follow.
By the court, not by the board.
All right, thank you. That's where I got confused. Okay,
then to remove those trailers requires an order of the court. So that's what has to happen there.
Okay, so logistical question here. Okay, so I understand that we know that there are six trailers owned by Crestview that owe $2,000 and then 13 that are at some stage of the eviction process right now. That's taken care of. And then 18 that could be in that eviction thing. In the abandoned process, how do we know which trailer specifically fits in which category? Because it seems to me that we've really struggled being able to identify, okay, these are the six trailers that are owned by Crestview. These are the 18 that are in the abandoned process. It's just kind of this hodgepodge, and we don't know which trailer fits into which category.
Unfortunately, that's the truth. We've encounter numerous problems in trying to identify which trailers are which. At this point, we've taken on a bit of faith from Mr. Lemire and the list he's provided to us and the VIN numbers. And so that's what we're working on now, the list provided by Bill Telman's attorney. But yeah, there's no real definitive way to maintain that. I remember attending out of the site with Supervisor Chitty and being unable to find VIN numbers on trailers. So it's a little bit of a faith process right now as far as the list provided by his attorney.
Well, it seems to me that it's in everybody's best interest for us to get to zero in terms of taxes that we expect to collect on these. And clearly the 13, that's already taken care of, right? The 13, or at least the eight, and then there's five more that are, I guess, somewhere in the process. That's taken care of. The 18, now, Ethan, do we legally have the authority to go ahead and just say, hey, we recognize that if you go through the court process, the $27,000 back taxes due on the 18 would go away, so let's just go ahead and make it go away immediately so that he can move them on. Do we have that ability or not?
I think that I believe the Board of Supervisors has the authority to abate the taxes on that, but until he files the petitions on those, there's going to continue to accrue taxes. So we've got to actually take legal action to get those trailers moved.
Okay, and that's another part is, we're just digging the hole deeper and deeper at this point if we continue to accrue taxes on a mobile home park that's not operational anymore. So my feeling is this. The six that are clearly owned by Crestview, have been owned by Crestview, those taxes need to be paid. Brant needs to write a check for $2,000 and call it good, and we need to figure out how to get to the end on the other, 31? The other 31 trailers, we need to figure out how to make that zero. We're not collecting any money on those. So let's don't even try. Let's get our 2,000 for the six that Crestview owns, and then find a way to abate or have abated any dollars in the other 31, just so he can move them on. It's time to get this cleaned up.
Back in December, just for a reminder, we did abate taxes in that park that were under Crestview and three other tenants, and it was $23,000.
Thank you. Because I was going to ask that. Just how much have we abated so far?
That was in December.
Are those particular units now off of the lot?
Your guess would be as good as mine.
Okay. All right.
I don't know. I know, but that doesn't mean that they're gone.
Yeah,
nobody's checking.
Okay, but thank you. So we've already abated $23,000. Some for Crestview, some for Tenth.
Most of them were Crestview. Three of them we did remove out of county to different counties, but the other ones were under Crestview.
As I recall this, and I was saying, Marty, you're the one who was down in the weeds with it, okay? But one of the incentives to abate taxes has been so that the trailers can be moved off of the properties. So if there are trailers still there where the taxes have already been abated, we don't have a in my mind, we don't have a meeting of the minds right now. I mean, you know, so I understand wanting to clear all the taxes and be able to go forward or clear all but the 2,000, but I'm just uncomfortable saying, yeah, we're just going to wipe these off if we don't get our expected result, which would be to get them off of the property. Has anybody had a conversation that would indicate there is a voluntary willingness to once again go in and figure out exactly what's there and a plan of action to get them off within, is it August? In August, there's another deadline coming up?
I believe the Board of Supervisors set the by the end of August, have 18 trailers removed, and by the end of November, the remainder is removed.
Okay, so we do have deadlines in place.
And that's through the Board of this.
Board Supervisors.
Yeah, Board. Oh.
Okay.
That was about the Hoop building, right? Then we tied that to the...
Yeah, the Hoop building. Okay, so that's... I hear your point of view also, Rick. I'm just expressing for me is that the abatements we were hoping would be tied to action, and we don't know for sure the action has gone the way as expected so far.
Right, but... And I think I tend to agree with you, Morris. The problem that we're dealing with here is... we're dealing with an individual that nothing is ever his fault. And so anything that makes his life a little more complex, he's going to use that as an excuse to not get done what he said he was going to get done. And what I want is, I want it to be entirely on him to either meet the deadline, which we haven't seen one deadline yet that he's met, or not meet the deadline. And not be able to use these excuses of it's everybody else against him. It's everybody, I think I heard him say, everybody is colluding against him somehow, some way, some shape or form. All we want, you know, there were so many misstatements in his opening soliloquy, like that $3,000 we set out there as the intention to move the mobile home parks. We never did that.
Right.
We set the $3,000 out there to try to assist those residents that were in a terrible way with moving on with their lives. But that's not how he views it.
Right.
So let's get to the point that there are no hurdles for him to get done what he says he's going to get done, and then either he gets it done or he doesn't.
And you're probably going to have to do that because, as title-wise, you know, there's a lot of them. It's his word against ours whether that is the mobile home that is moving, and there usually is no title.
Which is why I want to get this thing as clean as possible, because we can't know for certainty that, you know, trailer A fits into any one of these categories. So let's just get them all to zero. And to me, that means the Board of Supervisors or the court process stepping up and giving them the zero. And it means Brandt saying, no, you know what, the ones that were owned by Crestview, I'll make those taxable. And then we don't assess any more taxes. We stop it all right now. And that takes away one hurdle of him trying to get this done. And then either he gets it done or he doesn't.
We don't assess any more taxes on the ones that either are abandoned or evicted in those categories that Ethan gave us. We would still be assessing taxes for what is already owned, for the Crestview-owned ones going forward if he doesn't move.
So I'm suggesting that he pays the $2,000 and we're done. There are no more assessments. There's no more nothing. And it's his property, and he's got to get it cleaned up, and it becomes it becomes between him and the Board of Health and DNR. And we're all the way out of it then.
So when the delinquent tax list came out, I believe there was a total of $9,000 assigned to Crestview. Is that correct?
Well, those are all different mobile homes.
Those are mobile collectively.
Yeah. His the ground has been paid. I mean,
the ground has now been paid, and it's only the $2,000 left. Thank you.
Okay. And I want to clarify that the ones that that we had as evictions are also kind of the ones that are in Crestview's name.
Yeah, which is why us trying to figure out what trailer goes in what category is going to be chasing our tail. We're never going to get to that. We're never going to see adequate paperwork on that. We're never going to see anything. What we know is Crestview owes $2,000 in back taxes for some trailers. I don't really care which ones they are. Pay the $2,000, and then when he gets through the process on the 18th, or Ethan, if we can just get to the end of that and abate those, then he'll know that every trailer out there, he's got the ability to move off-site if he'll just get it done.
I was just at this time, since this conversation started with confusion about the process, there is nothing at the county level preventing Mr. LeGuerre from removing those 13 trailers
right
on the evicted list, because he can get no tax clearances required for those. Same if he pays the $2,000 in taxes that are owed in Crestview's name, that's additional six. He can meet his first milestone, 18 trailers, he'll meet it by one, 19. There's nothing preventing him in the treasurer's office from moving those trailers. Now, the other 18, the bulk, that's going to go through the court process.
Okay.
And I would encourage Mr. LeMire to get with his attorney to initiate that process. That needs to be started now rather than waiting until November when he's supposed to have those gone. All this, I'm sure, needs to be worked out with his attorney, and I would recommend that he start that immediately.
Yeah.
I'm frustrated. And probably not as much as some other people, all right? And what I'm frustrated about is that there's been a lot of inconvenience to lawyer tenants that have had to move and haven't had the best of necessarily resources. I'm frustrated because of, yes, there's a lot of layers here, but that now what we're saying is not going to owe any money in the future. So he's getting a break, or Crestview is getting a break for that getting a break that a lot of other taxpayers don't get. They come in and they pay, and they take care of the responsibilities, and so it makes me frustrated and sad that we're sitting up here talking about, and I understand we have to, but talking about waiving the tax bill of 2000 and saying we're not going to tax anymore going forward.
Not waiving the 2000.
Well, making you pay the 2000, yeah. But then we're not going to tax anymore. So I just need to express that. I understand that the services that Crestview provided at one time were necessary for a group of our citizens. That's long gone, and so I'm just frustrated.
Yeah, and Morris, I share in that frustration, but I would think it would behoove us to take a moment and think about what our goal at this point is. Is it to punish somebody who did not operate as we would hope a good solid citizen would operate, or is it to facilitate getting to the end of this thing? And I would submit to you that it's not our role to punish, it's our role to facilitate. And if we're going to facilitate, yeah, it's already, I mean, the county's already spent somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 for something we should have had no role in at all. It would just cause a poor management. That's it. And we're going to spend more. We just are. But let's spend more trying to get to the end of this thing.
And we had this discussion last year at some point, I believe, on the same one.
This has been going on for 5 years.
I was talking about the actual discussion, is our role to punish or not, because I believe I wanted to head down that road last year. I was talked out of it. And I see that the goal is where we want, and I see nods from our treasurer staff. I understand. So I will let go of the need to punish out of some sense of self-righteousness, okay, and look at what goes forward.
I'll bring you up in just a second. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. I understand. Thank you for allowing me to express my feelings.
We should have thought before we get any more of this. Get back.
I think you can sit for just a minute and then you can talk.
As treasurer, I agree with you. I want to get rid of all the hurdles, all the roadblocks. You know, the past due amount is a little over 2,000 is 2,164. Great.
Whatever it is, right.
You know, if he can pay that and we can move on and he can get these out of there, I think the Board of Health has his first deadline in somewhere in August 18th. I don't recall the end of August.
Yes.
I agree. I want to get rid of the roadblocks so he can move on. We can get him out of there, demolished, move to another park. I want it done as well because it's been a long road, long 5 years. The $50,000 is minimum. It was more than that, including all the staff time driving out there between the Board of Health, P&D, P&Z, us, you. Yeah, let's just move on.
Thanks. Yeah, Marty, anything before we bring them up?
I'd like to offer Brand you an alternate narrative. Just started my third year on the board, and you were one of the first things that was on my desk today. I sat down at it. And I got to tell you, when you hear somebody say it's been a five-year process, and you as a taxpayer have qualms about the expense that the county has to go to work with you to bring resolution in this park, I would have to say I have not always found you as the most transparent partner, in the sense that we keep moving timelines, we keep having, you know, just sit there, and when I hear you say that you had a respectable facility, and then I sat there and looked at all the notice of violations that you were served with last year on a facility that you called respectable. Okay, I guess we can differ on that, but it is what it is. But I would also rise in defense of the county and its departments and what they do to enforce code in the county that we find and make a better world for all of us to live in. I appreciate what Linda Merker came up and said, for the fact that I think she speaks on behalf of a lot of people that came through on a private side to say we will help move these people as they wish to move out of this facility. You did not stand in their way. Thank you. But the county departments, for what they did, is what they're empowered to do and what they're supposed to do. Now, as far as the Board of Supervisors telling them on a directive basis what to do and what not to do, we don't have that ability. They exist outside of our purview in that sense, because the thing is, they serve the public. They don't serve Rick Sanders. They don't serve Laura Solson. They don't serve Marty Chitty. And if you don't see that, I don't think you understand county government to the degree you say you do. Now, I'm not happy about the dollars that are expended, and I think $50,000 is probably a low end. But I don't think that you have been a willing partner that has met us halfway. We've always had to move our goal lines. We've always had to alter our approaches. You seem to always have rationales. And let's just go to a tangible, that VOO building, as you got a conditional use permit to do demolitions. You've not done a single demolition. You've not used it as what you went down to Jerry Moore to use it for. You're using it on a private basis. I suspect as you were given another 6-month extension, you may or may not use it to the degree that, or in the purpose that you said you wanted to. Now, we're going to sit here and we're going to decide what we're going to do with the dollars today. We're going to sit here and talk about the numbers of the trailers and how their disposition is in leaving the trailer park. But I'm willing to bet you a copy that we will probably have to come back and have this conversation again, because this will probably not get there, and we'll have a new and exciting reason why not.
Yeah, and then let's just be sure we're clear on this. We're not deciding anything today. We're offering direction today. So it will absolutely come back to us. This is something that the county didn't ask for, and I'm the one guy sitting up here that I've been part of it all the way through. Right, it was Paul Toot, God rest his soul, who spearheaded it. And I'll say this for anybody who doesn't know Paul Toot: you're talking about the most even-keeled, level-headed, reasonable man I've ever met. And he got more worked up after dealing with you on multiple occasions than I've ever seen, because he couldn't get a straight answer. And we've done everything up to and including having a public meeting out at the site. We've invested a lot more public dollars than we ever should have for a private entity. To me, the original solution should have been simple, and it wasn't. And that was, the drinking water out there was atrocious. It was hazardous to the health of the residents. We should have closed the place down immediately and moved on. And instead, we tried to really work through the process, to really assist the residents, to really try to make it happen. And it seems like now, at every turn, somebody wants to step up and say, oh, no, you didn't do this right. You didn't do that. That's crap. We've gone above and beyond. We've gone above and beyond to get to this point. And the only reason we're still here is because you don't fulfill the obligations you make. You guys come on up and tell us where we're wrong.
And may I add, we have also had some residents come back and thank us for getting them
absolutely
out.
Mm-hmm.
What's your name?
Yeah.
Oops. What does it say?
Untrue. Most of that is untrue. I can't say, I'm only going to be here for two statements. I can reiterate everything that was said almost. There's some truth, don't get me wrong. I like what Laura said, stay there for a while. But anyway,
so we
I can't say unless my attorney's here.
So and we everything went, from Brent, the, I'll make
please,
a point of
please,
Mark.
Please, Mark.
Brent,
Mark,
you don't have that ability. Brent, you start out with holding up a sign that says untrue, and then you just walk it back in the first paragraph.
Take your poison.
Hey, sir. I can't talk about everything else stated untruth because I'm under attorney right now. And you guys know that. He should have been here today if we were going to get into that. Everyone knew that. He should have been here today.
Just understand, Brent, this was a simple conversation.
I can't say anything.
This was, man, don't say anything. This was a simple conversation today. We were going to talk about the abatement of the taxes until you got up and spewed the garbage that you spewed to start this meeting, which you didn't list one fact in your whole thing. And so when you start a meeting like that, and then you're shocked that it doesn't go the way you want it to go, it's par for the course with you.
I apologize, sir. I apologize deeply. Okay? I can't go on and on like you guys just did because I'm under attorney. on the statements. Those statements that I rattled off at the beginning that you mentioned, those weren't said by me initially. Okay? Those were through the last 2 years. Since I've been under attorney, that's been stated. Those are facts. You use that word fact. Those are facts. I just reiterated them.
So a fact is not... I'm being mistreated. A fact is, tell us exactly where we did something
wrong. Before I was under an attorney, I had met every deadline, even after attorney. The first deadline did, we met. There's been deadlines, you are correct, that haven't been met. But there's numerous, and I can't say why, my attorney will do a lot better job than myself. There's many reasons why, and I can't point fingers. He will do that. That's all I can say. Fair?
I'd love it if Bill Talbot was here.
Me as well, sir.
Absolutely.
Sir?
Brent, you knew this meeting was coming.
Brent asked for this.
Oh, no, I did not.
You did too. We stood downstairs in the lobby of this room, and then you called me and left me a message. I still have a message with you asking for
this meeting. This is supposed to be for valueless meeting only. We didn't even touch that. We barely touched that. Where's Ethan? Value this home. And numerous homes that are there, the reason they haven't left, the movers need tax clearance to move.
And we're trying to take care of that.
Exactly. There are three categories. You're correct. That was very correct. There's three categories here.
You mean that wasn't untrue?
That was true.
Okay.
I didn't point at Ethan, didn't say anything untrue. I apologize.
Just from a status standpoint, because you started to address this. Okay. So if we get some resolution as far as some, at least the trailers being to move off, regardless what category, all right, are you in a position to be able to move them off? Do you have a plan in place?
Yes. To my abilities, I am... Yeah, the ball's ready to go. I got movers lined up to move them, but then I'm at their mercy too at time scheduling and whatnot. But yes, they are all, we're ready to move these things. So I think if we get the ability to, through the DNR regulations, through the title work, it'll be a cool, smooth, quick process.
It sounds to me like you got 13 that are ready to go. So why are they still sitting there?
No, they're not. 13 on the title work, maybe, yes. If the taxes are paid, or
those 13 don't have taxes.
Well, again, these are questions for my attorney to answer properly.
Okay.
But some of those lists of 13, if we were demolishing the site, yes, they could be. But we're not. That's phase three.
For the 13.
Title work, yes. My wife can answer that. You want to get up here?
So the title is only for demolishment?
Correct. The way I was understanding Ethan was
so
talking.
This up.
When I was listening to Ethan, that's the 13 they're referring to, that they don't need title work on.
We also have to have clearance to the DNR. We're submitting after Brandt demolished on site with that demolisher back in August. The DNR is now involved. So each home has to be submitted paperwork-wise separately to the DNR, and they have 10 days to give clearance. But those 13, they're not to be demolished. There's interest in them to go elsewhere throughout the state.
Right.
But they either need a title or a tax clearance, correct me?
Correct.
Ethan, can you help us with these 13? My understanding is all the 13, they're ready to go.
Okay. You smart that down. No, no need to say anymore.
And I wanted to just make clear for the record, you're talking about the $50,000 figure and all these figures. Brad and I are responsible for the taxes on the land, which is somewhere around $10,000 or $12,000 a year, and we've paid that for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Absolutely. Many of these homes that you're abating were never owned by us. They are not our taxes to pay.
But the ones owned by Crestview, are yours to pay.
He has paperwork from people who took those over, and what he was trying to discuss initially with the funds that were allocated for each tenant at the beginning for moving. Did any of you come out and see what they left us? We had a roll-off dumpster that was $400 to dump that just took care of the outside contents of one of the homes. And, I mean, the things that they left. But you guys also allocated money to individuals who owed the county in back taxes. You gave them money to move, even though they owed you.
And the Treasury Department knew such.
They owed you for taxes on those homes.
There's no question. We made a decision. And this was the three of us that made the decision.
Granted, we're just frustrated because...
Sure. We're frustrated as well.
I understand. We need either tax clearance or a title to get those homes off. That's what, according to IR Code 435.25, when it's administratively impractical to pursue tax collection,
absolutely.
You, as the Board of Supervisors, has the power for the abatement.
But let's get Ethan up to address that. Because my understanding on the 13th is that that's already been done on the 13th, by going through the court proceedings.
And then you're selling them? That's where I'm being given. We are not getting one nickel of revenue. We are just giving them away so people can do work, resurrect these homes, get title work done in whatever county that they are at, and then tax collection can be done once.
Absolutely.
Okay. Because when you said they're not to be demolished.
So, Ethan, the 13 that we talked about that have been through the eviction process, what else has to happen for them to be able to move off lock, stock, and barrel?
Now, Brant speaks of the DNR requirements. You speak of the DNR requirements. That's not the county's purview.
Right.
I'm speaking of the county's requirements, and it's 435.24, sub 5, says a tax clearance form is not required in eviction cases. Provide the manufactured home community or mobile home owner advise the county treasurer that the tenant is being evicted. The tax clearance is not required in the eviction cases.
Okay, so that's the 13.
Tell them I've discussed that.
And then is the DNR involved in moving a whole trailer, or are they involved in demolishing trailers?
It's my understanding, I'd have to...
Both.
I have to double check, okay. They need to do asbestos inspection prior to moving a trailer, and asbestos inspection when you're going to demolish a trailer on site.
Okay.
So they are involved.
And then you have to wait the 10 days. But that's DNR's purview. Again, we're here worried about what the Board of Supervisors can control, what the county can control, and we are there. No tax clearance is required for those evicted mobile homes.
So there's nothing that the county has to do those 13?
It's all DNR.
For the 18...
What are those people requiring of the 13, the movers, for you to get off? What is standing between those homes being moved and the movers? Or what paperwork?
Normal industry-related movers, okay, they need a tax clearance. Yes, on this issue, maybe we could go a different route without getting a tax clearance. I don't know. I can't speak for them.
Do they need a title?
But they need, the first thing they need is a tax clearance. In the past, it was a tax clearance or a junking certificate if they were going to take it to such landfill or whatever. They need one of those two items. Lately, the industry-related people I've talked with, just because there's DOT regulations, if they get stopped on the road, they want a tax clearance. I've stated this many, many times. Tax clearance was what they need. I'm not setting rules. I'm going by what the industry tells me.
So therefore,
we don't need to get a tax clearance. That just is new today, I think, because this highlighted copy that my wife is looking at here, I submitted that to the treasurer's office last week. Now I'm hearing the right codes come out, and I love it.
Yeah. It's Iowa tax law regarding property taxes on manufactured and mobile homes.
Okay, thank you.
But we don't. We'll be here all day if I discuss other things. So, what you just showed there. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Grant is handling that. We have to have an asbestos individual, certified asbestos individual, come in and certify that each home is free to move down the road without contaminating the environment. We are handling that through the DNR, but there's a waiting. It's a 10-day wait, business day.
Yeah. Which another issue too, which my lawyer stated at September or last fall meeting, that Crestview made history that day as well in Story County. Crestview and Story County made history that day because it's the first time the DNR regulated such just for friable incident to move down the road.
So that was not at our behest.
No. Excuse me.
That was nothing that we did. You know, overly or surreptitiously. And I think you made that
difference. I can't make that
one.
It's argumentative.
As that we were trying to move the DNR into the point they were in conflict with you. We don't have that ability.
Correct. But there was a comment that from the county some certain staff poking, I think, or whatever word was used, that stirred that up in the mess. But whichever, I don't want to get in depth. We've already been more in depth than we should have, I think, at this stage, at this topic.
And I have a question for Ethan about the abandoned homes. Does that have to go through court? I don't have the code in front of me. I believe it's a 555 or a 648. That discusses abandonment, but I think we can all be on the same page that the homes are abandoned. Like, no one's been there since August of 2017, correct?
Yeah, I believe on the, again, you can discuss this with Bill Talbot, but the 648 is the eviction proceeding. So right. That's a forcible entry and detainer proceedings.
Correct, but if they voluntarily leave on their own, in order to pursue a forcible entry and detainer, you have to serve them with certified mail and a right. process server, and if you have no idea where they're at, that's inevitably impossible to do.
The valueless mobile home code section and the abandoned mobile home code section require that the people are evicted. So whether or not they're present in the trailer, they still have to be technically evicted to satisfy the abandoned valueless mobile home proceeding. That's a discussion. I have the email that Telton and I shared last fall where he was hoping to get around that eviction requirement. And I said, no, you can't. 555C1.5 requires it. And he says, that's what I thought. I don't recall you telling me about that, but that is what I expected, Bill Talbot. So this has been known since last fall, what's required on the valueless and abandoned mobile homes.
I guess what I read on 555 was as long as the property owner, the real property owner, which is the landowner, which is Brandt, as long as they informed that the home was abandoned, informed of the treasurer's office, that, you know, it says here that you don't need a tax clearance to move an abandoned home, so we can move an abandoned home without there being a forcible entry and detainer obtained.
But again,
I
don't know if we need to have I don't get a legal discussion here, but Talbot and I did debate this in a series of emails last fall. Talbot is aware of the requirement and has proceeded with the requirements. I don't think we need to have a legal debate here now, and I don't think it's my role to have that debate with you or to give you legal advice. I think you have an attorney, you need to defer to your attorney. But to be fair, he is aware of the process and he knows the process, and I believe he was complying with the process, so I don't have any concerns there.
So, as I understand it, from a county perspective, there are 13 trailers that the county, we don't have to do anything with for them to move it. They're waiting on DNR to be able to move those, and that's between them and DNR.
Margaret's indicating to me that DNR has given the green light on those
13. On those 13.
They only give green light on 12 total, not all of those 13.
All
the ones? Let me finish here. And some of those weren't all on that list. And six have been moved. I got to look at my list. It's
six have been moved to date, correct?
Again, let Bill handle this.
From the spring?
Six to date has been moved, correct.
Yeah.
I think this list they're referring to.
I think it's appropriate to have Bill Talbot here before the discussion continues any further.
Yep. All right, so our role today was discussion and direction. We had plenty of discussion. Now it's time for direction. For the abatement of taxes for Crestview Mobile Home Park. So what I suggested early on is that we not abate, plan on abating. We just expect to collect you said it's $2,164 on the six that Crestview has owned all the way through, because you're responsible for those. You have been responsible for those. That the 18, just over 18,000 on the 13 trailers is already taken care of, and let's make sure that if there's any paperwork necessary from the county verifying that that's taken care of, we get that. And then the 18, Ethan, so what I heard you say here is that was up to Brandt and his attorney to get through the process on that. I would simply ask, is there something the county could consider to try to more readily get us to the end on those 18 that are abandoned? And I'm not looking for an answer. Well, maybe I get an answer right now, but I was thinking of, and I'm pitching this to Loris and Marty in terms of direction. just to try to get us to the end.
No, I'd be happy to meet with Talbot and set up a meeting with Renee or Artie and Bill Talbot to get to that. But he knows he needs to do the abandoned mobile home proceeding in district court, and I don't think I think he plans on doing that. But again, I have to discuss it with him, and I'd be willing to offer whatever help the county can provide to assist in that process.
Would it be helpful for Margaret to be there too if the DNR situation comes up?
Maybe I'm not clear. I don't know what role. So Margaret is simply relaying information that she has. You don't have any role with the DNR.
I understand that. I just was trying to, once again, offer toward whatever would get us to the end.
Yep. Well, I think that's a good goal.
I sit here, and I'm on the Board of Health as well as this board, and I got to tell you, it is a frustrating exercise in civic responsibility. I don't like renouncing the taxes. I think they were accrued, but I don't see a way forward to get to an end point if we don't.
Yeah, so the reason I'm suggesting that, first of all, the 18-1 is taken care of, right? That's what the law says. The 27 that's due on the 18 abandoned, well, we are never, ever, ever collecting those taxes. It's not going to happen. We shouldn't even pretend we're going to collect those taxes.
And that's the frustration, is the fact that it languished through the system and it just is what it is. But we have no hopes of recovery. Well, we would like to think that we could work with Brant and his wife to get to an end point where the property has no trailers on it. And we just like to commit, as we have committed on the Board of Health and on the Board of Supervisors, to a timeline, to an end point. But when, you know, part of what the discussion was to me today is the fact that you are moving, this became an informational thing that I would expect you to do in your own behalf outside of this kind of a meeting. That you need to know these things. You have a lawyer. He's a wise man. He can advise you on these things you need to do. There's processes you need to engage in. You can't wait until we have these discussions to say that, oh, I didn't realize I needed to do that. You need to do this in your own behalf, not ours. I think the taxes owed on the 6 Crestview trailer are about all we can expect out of this, and I would like to think that we can get this done here in calendar year 18.
I hear the reason in this, and I can already let go of my desire to punch or make a statement. Okay, so I am in consensus here with the board about directions to the staff. That would be to, I assume, prepare documents or bring back the abatements on the 18 trailers, correct? Those are the ones that...
Well, that's in, as I'm understanding it, that's between Brant and Bill Talbot, his attorney.
13.
The 13 we think is done, and we're going to check in to see if there's any other documentation we can provide so that Brant has something that he can give to the movers.
I'll be happy to talk to the movers if necessary, or talk with Talbot with the movers. I'll be happy to provide whatever help I can. But again, I think we need to shut this down until Bill Talbot can be here.
Yeah.
Okay. Be here, meet with you.
Or meet with me, or be here to present to the board.
Yeah, if he wants to come back in front of the board, we can bring him back in front of the board. I would prefer that we just move to the end of this. What I'm suggesting as direction is that the Board of Supervisors indicate our willingness to cease the accrual of taxes on the Crestview-owned properties at the date that were made whole. That we keep accruing taxes right up until they decide to pay it. When they decide to pay it, there'll be no further taxes on those 6 mobile homes. Morris, there's your carrot.
Yeah,
and that's why I moved back up here, as far as I would like direction for my office on these 6, because new taxes are coming due July 1st.
Yeah. It'd be so great if we could get this taken care of.
I need some direction on. I would hate to keep accruing. I mean, they're going to be a... He's going to get a statement mailed on Monday, July 2nd for these 6. So I would like direction on that. Like,
yeah, I mean, so that's what I'm suggesting to you, board, that we indicate that it is not our intent for this to continue on, but it's our expectation that the county will be made whole and the taxes be brought current on the 6 trailers that are currently and verifiably owned by Crestview.
Yes.
But then at that point, we stop. any accrual of taxes on those.
So if these six are not paid by June 30, basically, are you advising me to continue assessing a new tax starting July 1st?
On this six.
So the six. Board's got to give direction. I'm telling you, my feeling on this is we continue to assess taxes and they continue to accrue right up until those six are brought current.
Okay.
When they're brought current, we stop.
Thank you.
You guys good with that?
The thing to her listening to you is that the fact is if he does, it's over. If he doesn't, they continue.
Yes. That's what I'm understanding.
That's what I got.
Driver, are you comfortable with that?
I am comfortable with that.
I am comfortable.
And he has
with
the week, the remainder of this week to do that, is
yes.
What you're saying?
Yes.
Good.
Thank you for the clarification.
So then once that's done, that'll free up six more trailers that will have everything done that the county controls for them to get them moved.
Right. You can get a tax clearance to move those trailers.
Yes.
And then we'll count on Ethan, you, and others, but primarily you, having a conversation with Mr. Talbot about the 18 and how we can move through to get to the end of the process on the 18.
Thank you.
Thanks for all your work.
Good. All right. So I didn't expect this conversation today. I'm surprised that it went this direction. I thought it was going to be relatively easy. Anything further for us in regards to this Crestview discussion?
Nothing.
Okay. Next, discussion and consideration of hazard mitigation plan strategies. Leanne Harder.
Before the meeting started, did put an updated spreadsheet in front of you as opposed to what was on the board's agenda. This was updated in that I added the hazard to which the mitigation applied, strategy would apply, and the related goal statement, and then the hazard order. Yeah, just for some clarification today. Quite simply, action IDs story 1 through story 8. Which are on your left side, are existing strategies in our hazard mitigation plan. I did not rescore those. I did share the scoring sheet with the members of the board on today's agenda. I don't propose any changes to any of those other than for story 6 and story 8, that those would not only be related to river flooding, we would add flash flood to it as well. The practices in both the National Flood Insurance Program and Community Rating System Program both relate to flash flooding as well. And I think it's an opportunity for us to add that hazard in to the table and some mitigation strategies. So are there any questions on the current strategies?
None.
So again, only one potential change. Then I numbered the new strategies. There are 5 of them that are proposed. A through E. We discussed these shortly or briefly last week. These are all items through our C2C comprehensive plan. And I added the hazards, the goals today so that you had an idea of where it lined up. I'll just go with developing it. I'll start with each one and have you ask any questions you may have. The first one would be story A, and that's developing the density-based zoning program. That would relate to both the animal slash plant slash crop disease and infrastructure failure hazard, and it would relate to goal statement number 2. And then the hazards of those 2 hazards, if you look at the priority order, those hazards are actually numbers 9 and 10. So we're kind of dipping down to the medium a little bit. But really, the infrastructure failure, I think, is getting the heart and soul of this one. Any questions on that strategy?
Can you give an example? Can you give me what a plant or crop disease failure looks like?
A wipeout from a bug net infestation in the soybeans.
Okay. So it could be mechanical, or it could be just plant pathology.
Yeah, it could be, and then the idea is you locate housing so that the opportunities for incompatible uses are reduced, that may actually lead to some sort of crop failure.
Yeah.
We've not encountered that, fortunately.
No, that's
to prevent that from occurring.
Not to say it couldn't happen, but there you go.
Story B, mitigation strategies, continuing participation in the HUD lead hazard grant. Lead Hazard Control Program, encouraging communities to consider joining when opportunity arises. That would relate to the human disease goal. And that is goal number one. Same with the next one, which is continuing to offer radon test kits, human disease, and goal number one.
So both of those are things that the county's already doing. We would just codify it as part of our plan.
Right. So. The next one is communicating with Iowa DOT, UP, IEDA, and IODOT, and the IODOT's freight optimization program to determine freight train capacities and plans. That would be both hazardous materials incidents and transportation incident hazards relating to both goals one and two. And then the hazard area order, those two are seven and eight. And then the last one relates to all hazards, and that's developing, implementing, implementation regarding public safety available at all community facilities, just addressing, and whether that's in one language, multiple language, whatever that may be as well. That would be goals one and two, and again, all hazards, so the hazard order is not applicable. So the only one of the top five high hazards that's not addressed is severe winter storm, and really that is difficult to come up with a mitigation strategy to which to address that issue. Mm-hmm. But I think we have one through five definitely handled and a good suite of mitigation strategies. So if you would agree with these, tomorrow night at the Hazard Mitigation Planning Committee meeting, I'll share these with the consultant and those present, and then they'll be built into the hazard mitigation plan.
I agree. Questions for Leanne?
Before seeing where this goes in conversations with the railroad. That is such a great unspoken that I hope that they would consider sharing some of that information as it does to transit through our communities.
Yeah, thank you. Once again, just if, when you get time, could you shoot a PDF to us?
Yeah. When I did that last week, it made sense to me. Then I realized as I was actually preparing for the meeting today, I'm like, well, that makes sense to me, but I'm looking at other spreadsheets, so.
That was great.
So I take a motion to approve
and as consideration of the hazard mitigation plan strategies as presented by Dan this morning.
I second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Next item is consideration of the contract with the Ames Economic Development Commission.
Come on back, Leah.
Okay. Trying to slip away?
That's right.
Yeah. $85,000 for economic development planning consulting services. This is a continuation of a contract that we started five years now?
So what I did last week when I put it on the board's agenda, for whatever reason, when AEDC sent me the PDF of the proposed changes, number 7 under the scope of services actually showed up as strikeouts for what they wanted to add. And I think we had a discussion that was in addition. I just want to clarify for the record, it should read as is on today's agenda and would not be struck. It actually came to light when I sent it to them for signature to get on today's consent agenda, and they're like, well, that's actually new language. And comparing the two, I just thought it showed up as strikeouts.
Okay, so what we talked about in regards to number 7 last week, disregard that.
The way the discussion was what we were proposing.
Perfect, okay.
Which is really kind of when they call me, caught me off guard. I'm like, well, that's how we wrote it, but.
Showed up as strikeouts. Okay.
When you accept the changes, it looked different.
Okay.
I would move that we approve the economic development contract with the Ames Economic Development Commission for fiscal year 19 as presented at this board meeting without the strikeouts through that first part of the paragraph.
I would second that.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Olson.
Aye.
Cheney.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. No departmental reports, no other reports. Public forum number 2. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on this agenda. Board can't take any action due to this privacy open meeting law, but we may do so in the future. Anybody wishing to address us, come on up to the microphone. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, liaison assignments, Marty.
Pass.
Morris.
I had a list, and then, you know, I usually put them right on my computer, and today I printed them out. They're sitting back there on the desk. So this is the one thing I will say kind of for today and like a few other updates later. Just a reminder that I will not be here for the Tuesdays of meetings for the last 2 Tuesdays in July.
Is that why?
Oh, yeah.
All right, good.
I'm not asking for anything. Okay, all right. I just said I won't be here. So, and I can call in. We'll forget about all the stakes. But I can call in. But I just want to remind anybody, so if there's a really large topic where you want physically all 3 of us to be here, maybe that should be pushed back then. But otherwise, I'll call in. It'll be 5 a.m. there. And I'll be good and dutiful.
Bells on.
I'll have bells on. Okay.
All right, if there's nothing further, I take a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.